When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is your Commander-in-Chief. I'm issuing a warning. The following podcast contains adult content and intended for a mature audience. Listener discretion is advised. Enjoy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with T-Rex.
Shalom.
Shalom. How's it going? I like it.
I'm good.
I had a crazy week, man. I'm going to go first.
Okay, go ahead and tell you about the week. I want to hear it.
So last week was just nuts. I had I filmed the Real Husbands of Hollywood,
right,
with Kevin Hart, and my episode had like Lunel from Borat, you know, the big
right.
girl played the hooker in Borat, if you don't know her, and Earthquake.
I've seen her titties, by the way, in
really?
Real life, yeah, at her house.
did you bang Lunel?
Hell no. We were doing a show together, and I went to her house up in Oakland. When she was living in Oakland, I went to her house to pick her up, and we just sat around in her,
she's
her
wild.
For her house for a little while, and she was like, I'm getting out the shower.
No, she's wild. Literally, we're on set, and she's yelling, like, we're at a comedy club scene, and she's yelling, hey, all the extras, you girls, you don't need to be here. Just find one of these guys and get knocked up. That's what she was yelling. She's
right.
like, and just
yeah,
keep the
crazy.
Baby. Just keep the baby. Don't even wear panties. It's just what she was telling people. I was dying laughing on
right.
set. But it was actually... You know, it was a crazy week because I had I literally came from here Tuesday. I had a show Tuesday night in I don't know, Covina or something. It was like all Mexican crowd. It was a good crowd, but I'm on stage. I'm doing an hour, and some girls just won't stop talking. Just one of those things where just loudly won't fucking stop talking. And I'm like,
was it a Mexican chick?
Mexican chick, kind of attractive, but just loud. And I was like, hey, listen, I have a lot on my mind right now. I want to do my set. Just shut the fuck up. You know, I wasn't even going to try to even engage her in a war of wits. And she's like, just so you know, your fly's open. And my fly was down. I'm like, you look perfect because your mouth is open. And then that
right.
was just like, boom.
Right.
She shut up. The rest of the set was great.
Nice.
And then there was another girl who was actually after the show. She was cute, but she kept having, she's like, look at my tattoo. And there's like a name on it. I'm like, who's this? And it's like covered up. She's like, oh, that was a mistake. Some guy that I dated. And then she crossed it out. And then I look at her hip. I'm like, who's that? I'm like, oh, that's my baby daddy. I'm like, how many more tattoos do you have?
Right.
this might not go that well. But anyway, so the Real Husbands, it was, I had a couple lines. It was fun. I got to work with Kevin Hart, which was amazing. He's funny as hell. He
yeah.
really is the hardest working guy. I mean, he literally came from England the night before. It was there at 7 o'clock in the morning on set till 11 o'clock at night. Then who knows what else he's doing? I mean, the guy is a fucking working machine.
Yeah.
And he finds time to work out, and he's a super nice guy. But it was crazy because, like one of my roles was like I was a judge in a comedy competition. So the set really was a comedy club, and I go to Linnell. I'm like, this is actually better than half the clubs that I play at, and like this is actually a great set. So, and it was all these big names there, like Stan Lathan.
Stan's
like a huge director. I mean, from like Sanford and Son to, you know, two Chappelle specials to this and that to all these, like Ralph Farquhar was on set, and Tony Rock, and
right.
all these bigger names, you know, Chris Spencer, and something broke, and there's all these extras and like hot chicks and this and that, and it's a cool comedy club set. So actually something broke, and they had like 30 minutes of downtime.
Right.
So Chris Spencer's like, hey man, Adam, why don't you do 5 minutes, right? And it was like noon, and I was like, all right. So I get up and do like 25 minutes and just fucking rock it. It was
really?
Perfect in front of, and I honestly, I never would have that kind of opportunity to do a set in front of Lunel and
right.
Earthquake and Tony Rock, and I was like, it was like I was in my element. I
right.
was so fucking happy.
How
so
many people were there watching?
It was like 50 people in the crowd.
Really?
Yeah.
Like extras that were brought
yeah.
in for the comedy
club
scene?
And they were dying laughing. I was completely filthy.
Nice.
It was awesome. And then Stan Lathan was like, man, you really impressed me today. And all these people were
nice.
Like, oh, so that was like a high, right? I went from there. But then like the day before, I had an audition for like 12-page audition of just like, the night before. You gotta like, you know, just monologue.
That is the worst, dude.
The worst. And you're playing like a guy. I'm playing a guy who's like coked out of his mind, whose like wife just left him, and I'm trying to get rid of these drugs.
Not far from the truth.
No, not at all, actually. So just like, and those are just like, some people can just memorize stuff. I have a tough time just like memorizing things like bang, bang, bang. So that was like, that was that. And then I had a show Wednesday night, and then I was back on set. I was like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday back on set. And then a show at the Comedy Store, a show at the Laugh Factory, another audition for a Disney show, which was 10 pages long. And then and then I did a MMA roasted video with Uriah Faber, who's in it.
Nice.
Who insults my like forehead during the thing. I'm like, it's funny. I'm like roasting Uriah, and then Uriah shows up in the video and starts roasting me.
Really?
And he was super cool about it. That was like, I was fucking thrilled about that. From there to like, just, you know, it was just one of those nights. And then, like, I was at the Ha Ha Friday night hosting. Saturday, I'm at the Comedy Store. And, of course, he's like, I go up, like, 15th out of, like, 15. You know, they call it headlining. You're not headlining. You're fucking closing.
You're going last.
You're going last. And there's a table of, like, 8 girls from out of town. And I said one thing. And, like, we don't have to take this. They get up and leave. And which was, like, but then that bonded the rest of the fucking crowd together because everyone hated them. But it was just, like.
See you next Tuesday.
Yeah. And then, I mean, like, in the meantime, I'm taking this new acting class. It's like a boot camp acting class where.
I think you're telling me about this.
Where, like, everybody is meeting every day for 3 hours to go over their scenes, and it's like you have to be word perfect, know your stuff, and I'm not meeting it because I'm fucking busy.
Tell them that when you were like, when they were getting on, you were like, well, you motherfuckers are trying to act, and I'm actually on set with Kevin Hart acting.
I'm gonna fast forward to that. So what happened was I had this like quasi date brunch with this girl Sunday, which went pretty well. She didn't call me back. I guess it went better in my head than it did in her head. So I'm like trying to get to like my friend's
mimosas.
Father passed away. He's doing a sit shiv with Steve Hofstetter, where my best friend's father died.
Oh, snap. Yeah, I know Steve.
Yes,
yeah,
so that was fucking. I had to go there, then I had to go to meet my scene partner, and then go to acting class. Right, and I went to one rehearsal, and everyone else is like bonding and bonding and bonding, and they know it left and right, and I'm like the bad kid in class. And then yesterday, I had this great improv class. I coached with these. I got Justin Milos helped me coach. Who's was a D3 or D2 wrestler. I had Shane Crutchton from the World Series of Fighting came and helped my team coach yesterday. I had another coach come in. My main guy Kurt from Introvid. So that was like, all right, you know what? I'm taking my time. I'm gonna find some peace in my life and just slow the fuck down. And of course, I got hired to write the MMA awards again this year.
Right.
So that's now I'm like, I'm up to 4 o'clock in the morning last night working on sketches, looking up Luke Zachrich fights, watching Mitch Clark fights because they're on the podcast this week. It's a lot. It's a fucking lot. You know, I got to figure out what I'm going to do because the acting class is helping and it helps with auditions and I want to actually book parts and stuff.
Right.
And I don't want to just go to auditions and, you know, get feedback. I want to actually
get feedback.
Nail shit. But I don't know if I have 3 or 4 days a week, 2 hours a day to meet with my class and go over scenes. I don't know
Jesus.
If I have that. It's a lot.
Yeah, and I was taking acting classes with Ivana Chubbuck.
Oh, she's no joke.
Yeah, and she, I was taking class with her, but she would pair you with, you know, normally a female with a male or whatever if you're doing it. And it was always difficult to concentrate because these hot-ass girls would be like, just meet at my house. And I'd go to their house and I'm just getting out of the shower. Just make yourself at home for a second. It's almost like I'm waiting for the dude to walk in with like, you want to go over the text that you just...
Dude.
These girls are hot as hell, and I'm like trying to concentrate on... Like one of the girls was on the runner-up on America's Next Top Model.
Wow.
And she lived near me in Valencia.
It was Kim Winslow?
Yeah. And so that, yeah. So, I mean...
I wrote a joke about Kim Winslow the other day that was like... I actually put it out and I deleted it. I'm like, this is too mean. I go, Joe Rogan said you should only eat what you kill. So obviously Winslow eats boners. So
That's not bad. That's hilarious.
I think it's hilarious, but I'm like, do I want to? I mean, I don't know. I was one of the. Maybe I'm getting soft in my old age, man.
She eats boners. She's killing them. She kills them.
I wish it was. I wish there was somebody. It's always like. I wish there was like a female version of Kanye West, where like you could. This, you know, you could make them the butt of the punchline, where you don't actually feel guilty because Queen Winslow did nothing to me. I mean, what? She's just a referee. It's just, you know. I mean, other than standing people up and maybe
and killing boners,
maybe not being the best referee possible.
Right, but, just make a fake Twitter account.
No, I'm not making a fake.
Come on, just do it.
I hate. First of all, that's annoying. People that make fake, people that don't have their.
But it's
profile
just a way to get your stuff out there.
But people that don't have their profile pics and make insults. I'm like, that's such a coward move.
It is.
At least you could say with me is that I'm in front of the camera roasting people to their faces, and it is. But when you're like taking an image from the internet and then making shit. I'm like, really? How good do you feel about yourself?
Right.
Probably good, actually. But I mean, because you have no repercussion. But I think that's a bitch move. How was your week?
I forgot I was here.
Oh, really?
No, I'm just kidding. No, my week was cool, man. My weekend was awesome. I went to, I did that thing in Utah.
Yeah.
Right, you know, on the other side of Park City or whatever. These young dudes, man, they bought a mountain resort, and they're not even 30 years old yet, and the four of them, and they bought this ridiculous mountain resort, and they have $300 million into making this place ridiculous.
Wow.
And so they brought me in there to perform, and so it's basically just like you have to be invited there. And it's like a networking thing for like.
And Moby was there too?
No, Moby was there in July with Ben Glebe.
Right.
All these musical acts were there, and it's like networking for brilliant minds. Like the dude who wrote the book 4-Hour Work Week was there and giving seminars.
So what seminars were you giving?
I was just doing stand up.
Pull out.
There's I did stand up, and they built this 12,000 square foot log mansion that has a downstairs that's like a club, like that rivals any club here in Hollywood.
You're so funny, by the way. Your text was like, because I have recommended you to clubs, and you will get those clubs, and you know, and I think I hook you up here on this job, and like this is a cool gig for you, and
that's
fun. You know, I pay out of my own fucking pocket. All right, anyway, so let's just say. But you're so funny because you go, hey man, you know how you always say you got me this gigs? Well, I got a gig for you that pays so much more. But you don't say, here's the gig. You just like, you just fucking,
well, I have to
you
talk
just,
to
you
the
just
guy.
Dangle the fucking carrot. So I'm like, all right, get me the gig. You're like, okay. And then it was the funniest text. I'm just going to fucking read the actual text because I'm butchering it right now. Okay. So here's what the fucking, okay, T-Rex. Okay. So, man, I'm laughing, thinking about how all the, you always say you got me a bunch of gigs, and I never get any. The podcast's the only one, LOL, which I know wasn't an LOL, okay? I have one in mind for you.
It is, because you always say like, where's all the gigs that you've gotten me? All the gigs I've gotten you.
Yeah, because
I was up there thinking about like,
I got you
that.
The John Lovitz gig, I got you this John gig. It's still a fucking gig, you asked to do it.
It's true.
Okay,
it's
you true. Asked to all do right. it. I got your kids a manager. Okay.
Right.
All right. That's pretty fucking big in my part. I got you. It's okay. And I go, okay, when is it?
It's his then, dad. He just said, dad, okay. Manage these guys.
Okay. Right. I go, okay,
that's
let's set up a.
That's how friendship works with that.
It is.
Yes. You got to reciprocate.
No. You don't have to reciprocate, but if you don't, you're going to hear about it. Okay. Right. So you don't
that's
have
fair.
To
that's
do
fair.
It.
That's fair.
Okay. And then you go, I go, right now, the score is still Adam Hunter 1, T Rex 0. And then you write, it should be T Rex 3 to make up for slavery. So it should be T Rex 3. So it should be Adam 3, T-Rex 0 to make up for slavery.
Right.
Like, I had anything to do with fucking... First of all, my grandparents are from Russia and Canada. Okay,
right.
We had nothing to do with fucking slavery. But of course, I get lumped
for cold weather
that.
Then.
I get lumped into that. Fucking. Then that was funny. So then I go, I'll give you 40 acres and DJ. That's what I said.
And what was my response to that?
Oh, yeah, 40 acres and a jackass. So that was funny. So that,
ha, ha, ha. I'm not even included on this text and I'm getting shit talked about. You're still a yellow belt.
Yellow belt in comedy. It's bullshit.
Jake and I were like exchanging texts, and I just texted him yellow belt. And he's just like, like 10 texts in a row of just, you know, he loves emojis.
Yeah, yeah.
Just crying, laughing emojis.
Oh, he's so, Jake's kind of one of those guys. He's fucking funny. Like when we did that Mark Munoz Filipino wrecking ball thing, and Munoz was going to be naked and like tight spandex on a wrecking ball. And he's like, and everyone's like, at the gym's like, man, I don't know about this. Like Miley Cyrus. And Jake's like, no, do it. Jake's that guy that always tells you to fucking do shit so that you embarrass yourself and he can sit back and laugh to himself or to someone else.
He's like, what an idiot.
Oh, so fucking funny. He is funny. So anyway, coaching, I had some funny coaching stories. So I was I was coaching wrestling and I tell you the story. The kid said, I said, life's a bitch.
Uh-uh.
Oh, actually, I wrote a bit about it. How like the kid's like, hey, coach, my knee hurts. So I'm like, life's a bitch. And then he told his mom, and she was a bitch too.
Oh my God.
So
speaking of which, my daughter played, you know, she plays for that elite team, but she also plays at school. And so they played against another private school. And they have a good girl that's on their team. My daughter's the best on the team at school, and there's a girl that was on the other team that was really good, and they were going back and forth, right? So, like, my daughter would take it coast to coast and score in this girl's face, and the girl would yell, and she said, pass me the ball, to one of her players, and she's like, I'm doing the same thing.
Oh, wow.
And she would go down the other end and do the same thing, right? And so they were going back and forth, like, hard as hell on each other, right? And then this mother on the other team started, like, getting really loud. So I started getting really loud, too, right? So then my daughter went down, did like some spin move and like laid it off the glass in this girl's face. And the girl was like, inbounds the ball, I'm going hard again. And she said that and went down the other end. And my daughter swatted a shot like off the
court.
No way. Right. And I said, that's right. Get that out of here. Not in your house. Right. So then to my daughter, right. I was like, yeah. And so then, I get a call from my wife. My wife has said, the assistant coach wants to talk to you.
Oh, no.
So I was like, all right. So I call up to the school, and I'm talking to the assistant coach, and he was like, because he wasn't there. He didn't make that game. So he was like, yeah, I got an email from the coach of the other basketball team saying that they don't want you to attend any more of their basketball games when you play against them because you made their girls feel bad. And I was like, their girl was going hard against me, right? So my daughter had a game yesterday. I went to the game yesterday, and I talked to the coach, and I was like, yeah, apparently I'm banned from going to this one school's games. He was like, you're not banned. And he was like, is that chick that was complaining that the coach, that's her daughter whose shot got swatted, and you made her feel horrible because you were like,
whatever. Well, she started with you first.
Right. So the funny thing about that is they have a game today.
Are you going?
Of course. If my daughter swats her daughter's shot on, I'll be like, that's right, yeah.
That is funny, man.
I can't wait. I'm one of those dads that you see like on TV.
Yeah,
that,
you're like the Will Ferrell, like the black Will Ferrell in like that movie. Oh, man.
Willis Ferrell.
Yeah, you're Willis Ferrell. That's amazing. Good for you, though. That's fun. One time I was coaching wrestling, and we had this referee that was horrible. He was like the replacement ref.
Right.
And, I the kids that I coach, some of them are inner city kids. It's a charter school, so the kids get bussed in. This one kid that was a real wise guy, but he was funny. So he like wins, and then he holds up his record 4-2, right?
Right.
Like four, but then all of a sudden the referee blows the whistle, and he's like, "Your kid's holding up gang signs." I'm like, "The kid's 11." This is 4-2. I was like, "Come on, gang signs." I guess in LA kids start early, but I was like, "Jesus Christ!"
He's from 42nd Street.
Oh yeah, I had one coach. I had one parent that was like out of control, telling me like cursing and just out of his mind.
Right,
it was like one of the worst. Saying he was the greatest wrestler of all time, and he doesn't like his moves, and his kids took it for the team. It was like I almost wanted to challenge a guy to a wrestling match and just pin him in front of everybody. Like, but I was like, I can't do that. You know,
right?
You have to like. I've gotten a lot more, you know, smarter coaching than I was, and a lot more at ease and peaceful and stuff. I think maybe I'm, even though the beginning of this show might not think, I've actually maybe a little more mature and than I used to be. So, all right, MMA news. So John Jones's Instagram pic is all over, or his Snapchat pic. You see it?
What was it?
So he posted this Snapchat chat, and he has his shirt off, and he goes, sometimes I could be a pervert, or I could be perverted, and then pulls down, he takes off his shirt, and basically, I was about to show his cock, but doesn't show it. He like stops right before he shows his cock. It's like, and it's like making the waves of like, people want to see the rest of it. Did he show his dick? I have no idea. I mean, I actually was hoping he would come and poke my eyes out after viewing this, but it just doesn't seem like this is the heavyweight champion of the world, or not the heavyweight champion of the world, the light heavyweight champion. Because what is he doing?
Maybe his fame and everything is getting to his head. I mean, he's early, he's young, and he doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, I don't know that. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes fame can make people crazy.
Can you bring it up? John Jones Snapchat. It's pretty entertaining. I mean, not entertaining. It's weird. It's strange.
Like Justin Bieber getting all that fame and that money early, and now he's like doing crazy stuff. Like, he wants to say that he's a black dude. And
it just seems like Daniel Cormier just got a job, you know, as a full time Fox analyst. He's securing his future. You know, he's doing all this great stuff. And this is what John Jones is, look. I mean, look at the headline: John Jones's lewd video on Snapchat. But you can't see all of them, so we're gonna play this for you. What is that? Like, I don't even understand that. I could be such a pervert sometimes, and then stops. Right,
that's great PR. Whoever's in your corner giving you PR tips, keep it going.
Well, why? I don't understand. He just got dropped by Nike for a fight. I don't. Is he trying to get a UGIS or something? Or Red Tube?
Ex hamster.
I mean, what is that? Actually, that's actually pretty good, ex hamster. But seriously, why is he doing that? Did you watch the Bellator last week?
No. I was in Utah.
They don't have TVs in Utah. Okay, so what happened?
Not on this mountaintop. There was nothing to do social media-wise, television-wise. We're just up there chilling.
So the main event was Paul Bradley against Josh Neer. And right, Paul Bradley? That's his name? Paul Bradley? He's this wrestler. I think he was an All-American wrestler from Iowa. Tough guy. Real tough guy. And he just grinded out Josh Neer. He just took him down and held him for all three rounds. It's a pretty
snuggle fest.
Pretty boring fight, you know, but Josh Neer the whole time is looking at John McCarthy going, stand him up. McCarthy's like, no, you have to do something, right? And then at the end of the fight, you know, Bradley goes to shake Neer's hand. Neer wants none of it. And then Neer says to, he complains to Big John McCarthy, and Big John McCarthy goes, it's not a kickboxing match. And he says that to him in the ring, or the Bellator.
Good for him.
Which I thought was I thought was kind of cool, actually. Yeah. At the same time, like, you wouldn't see an NFL, an NBA ref, like, start talking back to the players.
I think they do it all the time, I think.
Really?
Don't you think? What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's more conversation. If you watch these guys, there's more conversation than not.
Oh, in the NBA or NFL?
Yeah. Yeah, I think refs talk all the time.
Oh, maybe? Okay, then I'm wrong. Yeah. It was actually kind of cool.
Guys actually talk smack to the refs, like, big time. Like, yeah. You're going to let that S happen, ref?
Really? Then maybe I'm wrong.
Like your fucking eyes.
Like the legends, like, you know, when Brett Favre, broke that touchdown record, the ref actually said something to him, and he got some flack for it.
Oh, really?
Like, he congratulated Brett Favre. Aren't they supposed to be, like, down the middle? But I actually have a funny, like, ref story. So I used to be a basketball referee for the YMCA.
Yeah.
And it was high school kids. And there was a mom, just like that, just like you were saying, T-Rex. Yeah, my son's the best in the world. He's going to go everywhere. Like, going off, right? And then I called him for a foul. And so the lady starts yelling at me. You don't know what the fuck you're doing. Blah, blah, blah. And I turned around. I'm like, your son's not Michael Jordan, lady. Back the fuck off. Needless to say, that was the last game I ever ref.
You said back
really?
The fuck off?
Yeah, I was
actually, I said, your son's not Michael Jordan, back the fuck off.
And oh, my God.
I was an umpire. I was an umpire, and, like, I would go to my little brother would play baseball, and I would show up to, like, the umpire wouldn't show up. I wasn't even the real ump. I would just show up to the game. And then, like,
you don't even have a mask back there. You just
No, I had a mask, but like, and I would somehow get paid for. I wasn't like an official ump. Somehow, right. I would just show up, and then, but I would always try to fix it so my brother's team won.
Right.
Like, oh, but I would try to do it in a way so that it wasn't that obvious, you know. But at the, and then like my brother's teammates were like, give me like the thumbs up.
Oh my
I was
God.
Like the naked gun, like the ump and the naked gun. He's like, right. Strike, and he's throwing balls in the air.
Doing the moonwalk down the third baseline.
It was horrible. It was awful. That was awful. So we got to talk about UFC 179's coming up this week.
I can't wait for that. That's going to be a damn good card.
Really?
You don't think so?
I can't wait for it. It's a strange card. I'll say that. Can we bring it up, DJ? It's a strange card.
I just want to see Chad.
I want to see Chad. I want to see Phil Davis.
And Phil Davis, that's in Glover. That's
gonna be those are the two fights. I mean,
that's why I'm thinking it's going to be a good guy. Those are the only two that I'm really looking forward to.
But you know what it is, honestly? Sometimes, like, the UFC 177 with TJ Dillashaw was a great card. On paper, not a great card.
Right.
But when it happens, a lot of times it's like, look, when you get oral sex from a chick, right? Normally, it's not the hot, smoking hot chick that gives the best head. Because she knows that she doesn't really have to give you head. You're still going to come back. It's the
big fat pigs that need to earn their, that, earn their spot.
It's the girl that has the crooked teeth. It's the girl that has the mole. It's the one with...
She has to go that extra mile.
She doesn't know when it's coming back. She has to make it count. She has to really hook you up.
She needs to go for it.
She has to, honestly, she has to go for it.
Right.
Right? I mean, the best head I've ever gotten were girls that were like 20 pounds overweight, you know, or 15 right. pounds overweight, had a little bit of a belly, doesn't really work on abs at the gym, you know, but has that fucking the cheese grater technique down, yeah,
the pepper mill.
The pepper mill, yes.
I call it the twisted
Not
sister.
Cheese grater, that'd be awful. Yeah, the pepper mill thing down. She's that one that can deep throw. She knows that she has her skills, and that's what these cards are. These are hungry guys, right. Okay? These are guys that they need. They're making 4-4. You know, they're making 10-10. They have no. They'll have one sponsor. It'll be a bail bonds or something.
Right.
These are guys with blank white shorts. These right. are guys with tags coming out of their shorts.
Dude, I remember when I saw Roy Nelson. I can't remember who he fought, but he was wearing like basketball shorts.
Yeah, no, Cody McKenzie had a tag on his shorts. He forgot his shorts to a fight and had a tag hanging up. Like, honestly, you're going to a fight, okay? A cup, right? You need a cup, a mouthpiece, and your fucking shorts, and you forget the shorts.
Right. Like,
you have to go out and buy shorts across the street.
Right.
Unbelievable. So, all right, Chad Money Mendez versus Aldo.
Chad looks like a beast in this picture, right? Doesn't he?
Yeah, he is a beast. I mean, he's a beast of a guy. And I think he's going to pull off the upset. I do. I honestly, I don't know what it is. I think that, I don't know. I'm not, you know what? On paper, Aldo wins. He's obviously the favorite. He hasn't lost in a long ass time.
37 years.
He hasn't lost in a long time. I just feel like Team Alpha Male's on the up.
And the Brazilians are on the decline.
Nueva Unio, I don't even know how to say it, but they seem like they're kind of on the decline a little bit. I don't know, man. It just doesn't seem like the last guy, Barral, missed weight.
Right.
I mean, that's not a camp that really seems to, guys are leaving, they're coming. It just seems like...
What's the name of that there? Nueva DiGiorno there? Yeah, they're on their way out.
It seems like the... DiGiorno, no DiGiorno. Delivery. It just seems like the Chad Mendez, those guys, I think Dillashaw broke the curse. And I guarantee those guys are looking at TJ Dillashaw congratulating, but fucking envious. They want that belt. A guy comes in, it's like a comic. Somebody comes to the comedy club, they get a deal or a sitcom. Right. We're all, oh, congratulations. Oh, and secretly, God. We're like, man, that fucking, I should right. fucking get that fucking sitcom. And again, at that gym, those little guys are small, they're angry, and they're competitive. And
come on, Chad, get that Blumpkin.
Yes, get that Blumpkin. Glover Teixeira against Phil Davis.
That's an interesting fight.
Both coming off losses. Davis losing to Anthony Johnson in a fight where I wouldn't say his stand-up got exposed, but definitely got caught with more punches than he needs. If he gets caught with those punches from Glover, he's going out. I'm picking Phil Davis in this fight.
Yeah, I'll pick Phil. I'll go with Phil on this one.
I also think that...
We also know Phil.
We know Phil. Right. But also, I feel like that John... I'm not saying Phil Davis is John Jones, but there's a reason that Cormier brought in Phil Davis to train for John Jones.
Because he's long and lanky.
He's probably going to watch that John Jones fight and study the shit out of it and go, okay, what do I need to do that John Jones did? And Phil Davis is a smart guy. He's a very bright guy. He's not this, you know, meathead guy. He's a guy that's going to learn from his mistakes. He always seems to do that. Fabio Maldonado against Hans Stringer.
I like Hans.
Really? Why?
Just because I've hung out with him before when he was with World Series of Fighting.
Really?
And his fight got canceled because the dude like didn't show up for the weigh-ins, and then he showed up like with 10 minutes left in the weigh-ins, and he was literally like 33 pounds overweight.
Wow. Oh, I know you're talking about. Was that, what's his name? A black
yeah,
guy.
Black dude.
What's that? I know he's actually a good fighter. That guy, He came in 32
pounds. He's from here in LA.
He's a good wrestler, that guy. He was like a, I think it was.
He was ridiculous. And Hans was like, he was just heartbroken.
He was a black zillion, that guy.
Was he?
Yeah, I think he was a black
zillion. Oh, that's right. Because, yeah, you're exactly right. Because I saw Ed Suarez there.
I can't think of the guy's name, but I know exactly who you're talking about. Will? I'm thinking Will. I don't know. Anyway, so yeah. Fabio he got lit up against Stipe his last fight, but that fight was shouldn't even been a fight. It was right. A different weight class. Fabio doesn't have the brightest, they say, fight IQ. You go up against Stipe Miocic and he's trading bombs with a heavyweight.
Right, but not only that. I mean, anybody who's a professional fighter and you have the same physique as me, look at this dude.
Come on, Anderson Silva is not exactly the most jacked guy.
I mean, he's not jacked, but I mean, come on, man, this dude's stomach looks like a wet blanket.
All right, so you're picking
soggy
Hans?
Chest, yeah.
Picking Hans. I'm picking Hans too. I think Fabio's taking too many shots. Darren Elkins against Martins. Darren Elkins, I actually did some research on him because I had to roast his whole card. He was 169 in high school in wrestling.
Yeah.
Which I said was the best 7 years of his life. but I like Darren Elkins. He's the damage. He's got that a very strange face, though, right?
He
looks like he's about to take a shit. He's holding in a shit for like years. Lucas Martins.
He actually, Darren Elkins kind of looks like Ashton Kutcher's Bizarro.
Yeah, he looks like Ashton Kutcher and Corky from Life Goes On. No, I'm kidding. No, sorry.
Corky Kutcher.
Corky Kutcher.
It's Corky Kutcher in the house.
All right, so I'm picking Elkins.
Life Goes On.
I'm showing my age. I show my age too many fucking times on this. All right, Benny. We had Benny on the show against Diego Ferreira, undefeated guy. Beneil Dariush won his last fight. I know that Ellenberger's really high on this kid. I'm picking him. No good reason. Neil Magny, this is his fifth fight this year. Fifth fight.
Come on.
I swear. Fifth fight this year. That's a lot of fucking fights. That's more fights than Pettis had this decade. Seriously. Pettis has had five fights since 2010. Neil's had five fights since January. You gotta give the guy credit. He looks like Usher and Urkel had a baby. I like Neil Magny, though. I'm going for him.
Uskel.
I told you when I met him at the thing, I'm like, Neil Magny, I'm MMA roasted. I go, I wrote a joke about you. He's like, what's that? I go, you're most likely to miss legs day at the gym. And he just stared at me and I was like, all right, man, I'll see you later. Like, why the fuck did I just say that? And Scott Jorgensen.
Yeah, Scotty.
Our boy Scotty Jorgensen is fighting. Young Guns, which are also the nickname for Ariane's breasts. So Scott Jorgensen against Wilson Reyes. I'm hoping Jorgensen wins. I don't know much about Wilson Reyes, do you?
I have no idea who this dude is.
So who are you picking?
I'm going with my boy Scotty.
All right. That's honestly, these are the best. If you have money, bet on our picks because we have the most informed fight picks out there.
Just breaking it down.
Touchy Philly. Love that guy. He's like he's a cool guy. That's his nickname, Touchy Philly.
It's just funny. I love it.
I actually said that he's always on the same card as Phil Davis. Which is weird because, you know, you'd think that Touchy Philly would remind him of Sandusky being went to Penn State. So Touchy Philly, I'm picking him. I think he got caught in his last fight against Holloway. He was winning that fight. I don't know anything about Felipe Arentes. So I'm pitching Touchy Philly.
Sotanejo.
Yes. All right, so our first guest on the show is a fighter in the UFC. He's on a 2-fight winning streak, Mitch Clark. They call him, his nickname is Danger Zone.
Highway to the danger zone.
He actually walks out to that, which is
does he really?
Yeah, which is badass.
I would expect nothing less.
To the danger zone.
Hey, Mitch Clark. Hey, it's going. I'm here with T-Rex. You're on the MMA Roasted podcast. How are you, buddy?
What up, Mitch?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Thanks for finally being on the show. I know we had to reschedule a couple times, and I'm glad we finally connected, man. How's are you over in Edmonton now, or are you in Arizona? Where are you?
No, I'm in Edmonton right now. Just about to run some classes this afternoon and get my training on.
I love Edmonton. I've been there like 5 times performing at the Mall of America, at the, not the Mall of America, the Edmonton Mall.
It's a nice mall.
I was getting, it's like the biggest mall in the world. And the shows are great, man. Edmonton, I always get laid when I go to Edmonton. what is it about chicks from Edmonton that like put laid. Out? What is it, Mitch? Tell me.
I don't know. Like, I think they like funny guys. I don't know. I don't really know. I do not have the same problem, I guess, I would say, as you. So
you don't have the same problem. Come on. I mean,
well, it's a good problem to have.
Yes. I mean, are you a star in Edmonton now that you're in the UFC?
Fuck no.
Really?
I am like the most unpopular fighter probably in the city. Like, it's not that I'm unpopular. I'm just not popular. Guys who are fighting in like local shows that like have 500 people are more famous than I am.
Why is that?
I have no idea. Maybe I've been talking to my manager. Maybe it's I just have the personality of a piece of toast or something. I don't know.
A piece of toast. You seem like a pretty funny guy. You know, you seem like, there's actually a fighter that does comedy. You know that guy that does comedy? He runs a gym in Edmonton. I went to his gym before. I think he has like a 500 record, but he does stand up comedy. You know what I'm talking about? Good looking guy.
Fade?
Yeah, right.
That's Fade, holy shit.
Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah, I know that guy. He happens to be a nice guy.
Yeah, he's really nice. It's hard to hold a conversation with him sometimes, though. He's kind of all over the map when you try and talk to him.
Yeah,
I remember I went to one of his shows. He's opening for someone, and he was telling us some story about him trying to take home a stripper and put gummy bears in between her legs, and he's trying to say he's diabetic. And one of my friends yelled out in the middle of the, well, not one of my friends, the guy I trained with, Mukai Maromo, who was on MFC, yelled out, "Shoot yourself in the fucking face!" And it was like, why is this happening? It was the worst.
Oh my god!
And he killed his whole vibe.
Yeah, I know. I actually went to his gym and trained with that guy. He seems a pretty cool guy. Now you're on a 2-fight winning streak. Congratulations, by the way. Your last fight against Al Iaquinta, you got a performance of the night bonus. That Darce was insane. Have you practiced that before?
Oh yeah, like I do a lot of jiu-jitsu. I have good jiu-jitsu coaches here, and I work down south with John Crouch, and one of the guys I train with here, Andrew McInnes. He's big on being always attacking and stuff like that, and he fights in the MFC. He just won on the last MFC. He's supposed to fight for the title next, but he's a black belt under Robert Drysdale, and he's always been big on, you know, I got really, really long ass arms, so, you know, just practice, and then getting in training, and when he kind of like moved his arm out of the way, it just came second nature, and poof, it was in.
Yeah, no, that was awesome. He hit basically a T-Rex. He hit a Darce from the bottom. It was unbelievable.
Yeah,
it was Joe Rogan said that he'd never seen it before in the UFC, and it was really impressive. Now, how much money did you get for that performance of the night bonus? How much? What did you get for that?
Well, I got a $50,000 bonus, but the states took a giant chunk of it. Took about $15,000 out of it, so I got to apply to go get that back hopefully soon.
Oh.
That's annoying.
Is Jesus. It ever?
But it's still $35,000, not bad, which is like, in like Canadian money, that's like $200 million. So that's...
right. The toonies and the loonies.
In Canada now.
Yeah. Canada, you ever go to a strip club in Canada, Mitch?
I've only been to a strip club once, and it was different. Apparently, we have different rules than you guys have.
Yeah.
What are the rules in Canada?
Honestly, they don't have dollar bills. They have the loonies, right?
Right.
So they have this thing where the girls basically put like a bucket. They sit on their ass, and they put a bucket, and then you throw it. It's
like
you're playing,
vagina as a backboard.
Yeah, it's like vagina basketball, and which I refuse to do.
Vajasketball?
I thought that was really rude. I'm like, I'm not throwing fucking coins at a girl's vagina, but then they got mad that I didn't do it. I guess Everyone does it. So
at least they weren't walking around like naked with those like changers that they used to have at gas stations, you know, like the coins.
That would be horrible.
Yeah, usually they roll up like one of their posters and put it in front. And then you're supposed to try and like land inside the
tube.
Inside the poster. And then you win the poster.
You guys are trying
the only time I want a poster.
Yeah, they all have posters. He's right. He's absolutely right.
Yeah, they give you posters.
Yeah, every chick has her own
the
poster.
The one that I got.
But how sexy do they sound like?
Track marks on her arm.
No way.
Fucking,
come on.
I'm totally serious. Like, track marks on her arm. Like, wow, I'm not putting this up anywhere.
Stop looking at my tracks, eh? Look at my box, eh?
That's hilarious. Wow, that's crazy. You think that she would Photoshop the track marks of her?
Track marks.
That's horrible. That's horrible. So now listen, now you got to the UFC. You're actually the first fighter ever from Saskatchewan, right? You're the only guy ever from Saskatchewan?
Yeah.
From Saskatoon there?
Saskatchewan.
Did you grow up playing hockey?
From Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
Yeah, Saskatoon there.
That's pretty awesome. And whenever you say Saskatchewan on stage, the crowd laughs. Like, I'm like, oh, I went to a strip club in Saskatchewan. Everyone laughs. Is it what's wrong with that place?
I don't know. Like, there's a it's kind of like old school. I guess it'd be kind of like the South, like the Deep South in some places.
Right.
The Deep South in the States. There's some poorer areas. And the strippers that I've seen from Saskatchewan have less teeth, I guess.
Oh my God!
Yeah, kind of that thing.
I love this guy.
I remember
less teeth.
There was one, and she was missing part of her arm.
Oh my God! Teeth. She's a slut machine.
That's not even funny, but the way he says it is making me laugh. Like, he says it so matter-of-factly. So okay, now you got to the UFC. You lost your first fight. You were 9-0 going into the UFC.
Yeah.
9-0. You won all kinds of regional promotions, and then you lose to Josh Cholish in the second round. First time you've ever lost. Was that just the worst feeling in the world? Were you like, you know what? It happens. How did you handle that loss?
It's kind of like a combination of the worst day ever combined with a sense of relief. There's so much pressure. The more fights you win and being undefeated, and then to finally just, you don't have to just fight to win.
You get that monkey off your back. Fight.
Right.
Yeah, totally. But, you know, losing fucking sucks. I was sad for over a month over that. And, you know, it was a big learning experience. Getting that big show, getting that big adrenaline dump, and it made me really restructure all my training and stuff to because I wanted to win in the UFC, so it made me really change everything so I could put myself in the best place possible to win.
So then you are relocated to the lab with Ben Henderson, right?
Yep.
And then what was it like training with him?
Man, that dude's a beast. I was like, you know, watching him in the WC and really see much, or like how he was beating all these dudes up, and then you get there and you spar with him and it's nonstop pressure and he's just in your face the whole time. He's one of the nicest people I've ever met, but the dude is insane. He's like, it's intangible. Like, it's something you can't really put your finger on. He's just in your face the whole time, and he makes you tired when you're not usually tired. He just keeps in your face and beat your ass.
Yeah, no, he's a. I hope he comes back. I'm sure he will. Now, does he have his toothpick in his mouth during training?
Yeah.
Hey, wow.
Yeah, 100%.
100%.
Does he really?
Yeah, yeah. That's like crazy. I remember he was wrestling practice, and I was like, "Oh, you're gonna take that out?" He's like, "No." And then we could just kept wrestling. He's like, "You're scared." Like, I think he chews the ends off, but it's still not the best thing to have in your mouth while you're grappling.
Yeah, that's crazy. That is crazy. And now you were an environmental protection officer before you were a fighter?
The EPA.
Yeah, I have an environmental science degree.
Wow.
And a Bachelor of Applied Environmental Management, so I have 2 degrees.
Nice. So, well, I mean, you were an actual officer? Like, you were going around making sure people didn't litter?
It's kind of a misnomer in that sense. It's more so dealing with industry in terms of...
Pollution.
Of you go out to... You go out to sites where they've done pipelining or reclamation on old oil wells and make sure that they've followed the guidelines and stuff like that. There's no, I didn't have a gun or anything like that. It's
right.
Not protecting spotted owls or anything like that.
Did you have a badge at least?
No, I had a hat. That was a
hat. Now, do you have a girlfriend? Are you married? What's the deal?
I have a girlfriend.
Nice. Now, she's from Canada?
Yes. She lives in Edmonton as well. She's an actress.
An actress from Edmonton? Really? Is there a big acting scene up there?
I didn't know about it until we started dating and then found out that there is a fairly large acting community.
Television? Here in Edmonton. Television or stage or film? No.
Yeah, like stage. She does a lot of stage, and she does commercials and stuff, but more so she does a lot of, like, stage work and that
look
kind
at,
of thing.
Look at you, the fighter and the actress in Edmonton. That's a cute little, it's like Jack and Diane now. It's adorable. Good for you, man. You're, like, blushing. That's good. So, Mitch, who are you calling out? Who do you want to fight next?
Let's see.
I don't know, like... I think I'm kind of in a weird place for the UFC. Like, when I beat John McGuire, I wasn't supposed to beat John McGuire. They're all talking about what he was going to do next. And then Iaquinta was the guy who was kind of being groomed to be the next big thing. And I kind of got my ass kicked for the first round and then choked him out. And then now he's co-main eventing his next event. So I'm just looking to kind of build up and get to where he's at kind of thing. I don't know. I don't even know who matches up style-wise. I just want to... get back in there.
Yeah, but they love it when you call people out. So Conor McGregor, give me some names. Give me three people you want to fight.
I don't mind down the road fighting like Michael Chiesa, I think.
Okay, Michael Chiesa.
That'd be an interesting fight. Battle of the Beards.
Battle of the Beards. I like it. Loser shaves.
Hey, they should do that.
Yeah, totally.
Battle of the Beards, Loser Shaves. And then have that guy referee, the Yosemite Sam guy with the fucking...
Right. Yosemite Sam.
All right, so you're calling out Chiesa over the who has the best
beard. Like, that's not really my style of calling anyone out. I just do my thing.
All right, Michael Chiesa, you heard him, man. You heard the man.
Chiesa, he's talking shit.
Talking lots of shit. Mitch Clark.
Mitch Clark.
Cool. All right. Well, that's going to be the heading of our podcast.
Then everybody's going to confuse this Mitch Clark with the Mitch Clark who's the Australian rules football guy.
Do you get really? No.
There is another Mitch Clark.
There is another Mitch Clark. He's a rugby player.
Well, Mitch doesn't even know. Fuck. Who? Thank. Why are you bringing that up? Nobody cares about that.
Because then he can use that when some people get mad at him for a call. He's like, that wasn't me. That was another Mitch Clark.
He's not even on our show. All right. Listen, Mitch, thanks for coming on our show. Where can people find you?
You can check me out on Twitter, Mitch Clark MMA, Facebook fan page, same thing, and check me out on Score. I still don't really know how to use it, but I think we get money eventually.
Well, Mitch, we'd love to have you back on, dude. You're a great, humble guy. You're an inspiring guy, and you're a really cool guy. And if I go to Edmonton, I don't care if you have a girlfriend. I'm going up there, I think next October. We are going to a strip club. I want to get a poster with you. We're going to get a poster.
Of a girl with track marks on her half arm.
Yes. Hell yeah.
With part of an arm.
Yes, exactly. She's the Nick Newell of stripping. So, but thank you so much for coming on the show, man.
Nick Newell.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Take care.
Thanks, buddy.
Okay, bye.
That was Mitch Clark. I like that guy. Nice guy. The Nick Newell of stripping. Yeah, she's a Nick Newell. He's a Nick Newell of Canada stripping. All right, so next we're going to have Luke Zachrich on the show, followed by Hector Lombard. So we got back to back, and then we're going to end the show. We're going to call Luke right now. Luke is 14-3, fights out of Ohio, 10 first round finishes.
We're out of Ohio.
Dayton. He's fighting Zach Kelly, who's 7-0, who's an Olympian judoka.
Luke speaking.
Luke, how are you, man?
I'm good. How are you, dude?
It's Adam Hunter. You're on the MMA Roasted podcast. T-Rex is here as well.
What up?
Thanks for being on the show.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
Are you kidding, man? I was looking up your fights last night. Impressive fight last fight. You got a big fight coming up against Zach Kelly, who's 7-0, who's an Olympian judoka. How are you prepared? Talk to me, man.
Well, you know, there's very few guys that have the credentials as Dan Kelly does as far as, you know, judo. And the one thing is that it's not a hugely popular sport here in the U.S., but, I don't feel that he uses his judo really well for MMA. You know, I'm not trying to discredit him or anything like that because obviously the guy's undefeated. You know, he's a very, very credentialed judoka. But, you know, I feel like my wrestling is going to outweigh his judo, and I'm light years ahead of him as far as my striking and my Brazilian jiu-jitsu. So hopefully, you know, it's a super tough fight if I let this guy implement his, you know, his game plan and his style, and I don't control the fight. So, you know, it's it all comes down to what happens on November 8th. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And you've had a... You've had an up and down career. I mean, you've really, you're not one of these guys that had three fights and they handed you everything. I was looking you up, man. You were on season 7 of The Ultimate Fighter.
That was Rampage and Forrest, right?
Yeah, you were on Team Forrest, right?
Yeah.
Now, what was that experience like?
I mean, it's it's The Ultimate Fighter, you know what I mean? It's one of those things that I feel like I'm glad that I did it, but you know, I nobody could pay me to ever do it again. It's one of those things. Like, I'm glad it's crossed off the bucket list, but it was a pretty horrible experience as far as you know, being locked away from the world for that long and you know, in a house with all the guys. But
yeah.
You know, I did it. It's done. It's over with. I can always say that I did it, but I would never do it again.
That was your Bader one, right? Ryan Bader won that year.
No, it was the season right before Bader was on. It was Amir Sadala won my
Oh,
season.
Right. Oh, so you were with CB Dalloway and Jesse Taylor.
Yep.
Were you with them when they went to the casino?
What's that?
Were you with them when they went to the casino and Jesse Taylor was acting an ass?
No, you know what's crazy, man? Like, I love Jesse Taylor, dude. He's such a great guy. You know, I wasn't shocked when they told us about that. But the guys all stuck around in Vegas a couple extra days. And, we didn't find out about it. Even the guys that were on the show didn't find out what happened until midway through the season, when all of a sudden they're promoting that there's a big change and a big turn. it was kept secret from a lot of the cast members too. So it was a giant surprise to all of us. I was back in Cincinnati at the time. I couldn't wait to get out of Las Vegas, so I caught the first plane home the next morning.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you. Now you grew up in Dayton, right?
I grew up in Defiance, Ohio, so it's north of Dayton.
North of Dayton. And I was reading recently that, after The Ultimate Fighter, you had to take over a year off. You had a herniated disc in your lower back. You had all kinds of injuries, right?
Yeah, man, I went through like a 3 or 4 year period of time that it didn't seem like no matter what I did, I got hurt. So coming off The Ultimate Fighter, I tore my quad. And, you know, so that put me off for a little bit of time. I came back, I put a 3-fight win streak together. Right before the third fight, I started having some pain in my knee and stuff like that. I was out in California at the time. And as soon as I came back, I fought the fight, went in, got checked out, and they went in just to do like a little surgery on my knee to see what was going on, cleaned up some stuff, and I ended up having a torn ACL. So they had to repair that. I had to take a year off. And then right before I'd signed with Bellator, and it was one of the early seasons. It was the first middleweight tournament, I believe. And I had herniated 2 discs in my lower back, right? I think it was 5 weeks before the tournament.
Jeez.
So, you know, I had a really bad run, and I took 2 years off it took about 6 to 8 months to let the back heal. And then I had, we opened a restaurant up here, and then the second year I was getting ready to open the second one up. So, you know, life got in the way, and I wanted to make sure I was 100% healed up and, you know, really working on the technical aspects of my martial arts game. And I think, you know, as crappy as it was, as bad as things got there for me with the injuries, it ended up being a really blessing in disguise as far as me being able to take that time off and fix the holes in my game and really make those strengths.
Yeah, so, I mean, now you manage a...
Here we're at now.
You manage a... Mello's Pizzeria or something, or Mello's Bakery.
Yeah, it's called Mello Mushroom Pizza Bakers. It's we've got 2 of them in Columbus right now. We're opening the 3rd actually the week that I get back from the fight. But it's it's a pretty big restaurant. You know, it's a big bar. We'll carry in the new restaurant, we'll have 50 beers on tap, and that one, the other one, we carry 36 in both stores. So I'm sorry, 32, I believe it is.
You're,
but yeah, we're
hilarious.
Busy with that stuff, man. It's crazy.
Now, is it hard to make weight when you're in a bakery and a pizzeria all day?
No, you know what? Since I have kind of had this little resurrection in my fight career, made it back to the UFC and stuff like that, I kind of remotely do everything. My focus is on my training and spending time with my family right now. So I've got a great staff of people that work for me, and they keep the stuff running. My brother's still, very, very hands-on. And, my sister's there, my mom and dad, everybody like that. So we keep, they're allowing me with the circumstances to, kind of get out and chase my dreams a little bit.
Is this restaurant a franchise, or is it something that you guys started yourselves?
I'm sorry, what's that?
Is the restaurant a franchise that you guys bought into, or is it something you just came up with and started yourself?
Yeah, no, it's a franchise, and it's a smaller franchise. So okay. Up north, there's really not that many up here. My parents live down in Hilton Head, so every time we would go down to see my parents, the first thing we would do is right to Mellow Mushroom every single time.
Dude,
so,
you're hilarious. Now, are you going to be sponsored by them in your fights? Are you going to have Mellow's Mushrooms on your ass?
No, I do, man. Absolutely.
That's awesome.
I have to promote, brother.
Nice. That's great. Now, you have a wife and a daughter, correct?
Yeah, and another baby on the way, too.
Yeah, get you some.
I know, dude. It's crazy, man.
Congratulations, man. You're living the dream. You got two restaurants, a wife, two kids.
Professional athlete.
Professional athlete. Look at you, man.
Yeah, it's fun.
You ever just take stock of everything you got going for you and sit back and smile and be like, damn, I got it made pretty well?
Yeah, we're still grinding. You know what I mean? We're trying to, we're trying to make this all everything that we do successful. I've got my own gym here that we're really, it's taken off over the past couple of years and stuff like that. So we're constantly busy, yeah. and we don't really have enough time to sit back and, kind of take it all in right now.
That's awesome, though.
And then you train over with Matt Brown a lot, right?
Not anymore, no. I think it's been about a year and a half since the two of us trained together.
So who are the guys that you train with?
Dan Spahn's at my gym. We've got a ton of pro boxers, I guess you couldn't call it professional per se, but we've got a top, some of the top jiu-jitsu players in the world are right here out of my gym. We've got a fight team of about 40 guys that are pretty active right now, guys and girls. So, and then a ton of people, Jason Butcher's here who fights for Bellator. So I've got a great group of guys that I train with.
All right. So tell me something that no one knows about you.
Oh man. I don't know. We just knocked off all the restaurant stuff, the gym stuff, things like that. So, I was talking earlier with my injuries when I rehabbed everything and I was coming back and I fixed the holes in my game. A hobby is Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, dude. It's really, it's strange, but, that's how I kind of, I relax and just kind of, if I'm not training for a fight or something, I put the gi on all the time and I love.
Oh, come on, dude. That's so, come on. Oh, wow.
My favorite thing.
Wait, this is what you're giving me? Yeah. That a fighter does
fighter
Brazilian
that actually
Jiu-Jitsu?
Does fighting?
Any time to prepare for it.
Well, what about, no crazy threesomes in college? You're talking about like lines of cocaine,
dude,
off your penis,
boring,
nothing.
Man.
Come on.
Kids, all that fun.
No, really? Come on. You're Luke Zachridge, motherfucker. You gotta give me something.
Nah, bro. I off the top of my head, there is nothing about me that would give you guys anything good.
All right. Well, if you beat this guy, who are you calling out?
You know what, man? I don't even feel like I'm in a position to call anybody out at this point. I just want to keep, I want to keep getting fights. I want to stay in the UFC as long as possible. I've said yes to every single opponent that they've given me, whether it's, 11 days notice, like my first fight in the show, or the last guy, this guy. I mean, I didn't even look him up. I just said yes. So wow. I tried. It's taken so long for me to get back here. I'm so happy to be there that, I'm not looking to call guys out. I'm not looking to do anything. I want to put a couple fights together and, let the UFC know that I'm for real. And, show them what I'm capable of, and hopefully they'll start giving me some big opportunities.
All right, Luke, so where can people find you?
Twitter and Instagram at Luke Zachridge, and my Facebook page is Luke Zachridge MMA. So check it all out, man.
We're going to be rooting for you, man. We're going to be rooting for you.
I appreciate it, dude. Thank you very much.
Yeah, LZ.
Well, thanks, Luke, and good luck with everything, brother.
All right, guys. Take care.
Later, man.
All right, that was Luke Zachridge, an entrepreneur.
Dude. And he's fighting on top of all that other stuff he's doing. I'm a piece of shit.
I know. This guy's got a gym and two restaurants, a baby on the way, a wife, a career. I'm sitting there complaining about an audition, and I'm still stuttering it. Fucking awful. All right, so Hector Lombard. Hector Lombard to close the show.
Boom.
We're calling Hector right now. I like that. Look at that nice guy. You can't not root for guys like that.
Right.
I mean, Evan the Beard can, but I can't. Hector.
Yes.
Hey, how's it going? It's Adam and T-Rex.
What up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on?
It's great to talk to you. Hector, I know last time you were on the show, you were depressed. Nobody wanted to fight you. Since then, Josh Berkman signed on.
It's funny because every single time you guys call me, I'm in a better low mood and you guys lift me up.
Ah,
yeah. Thank you.
I
love to hear that.
It's a pleasure.
And I really enjoy to have interview with you guys because I feel that I rise from the bottom to the top.
Nice.
Absolutely. Now you're fighting Josh Berkman, man. Are you excited about this or what?
Yeah, I'm very excited about to beat up another former champion.
Yeah,
I can't wait.
I can't wait too. It seems like everyone can't wait. Honestly, a lot of people think you're the most underutilized fighter in the UFC, and a lot of people think that you should be getting the title shot soon.
That's coming.
Yeah. Hey, what happened there? Somebody burping there?
Somebody burped? No.
Oh, okay.
No. now we had. I remember last week Ben Askren came on. He said that you did not accept his challenge to wrestle him.
What? Are you serious or this is a joke one?
No, he said that. He said he wants to wrestle you in like some kind of a tournament.
I'd wrestle him anytime he wants, but at the end of the day, what he wants to do, he wants to hug me. Why are you hugging? Why should be in the hugging? I'm not in the hugging business. I'm in the hitting business. You know what I mean?
Right.
I punches and stuff, throw everything in it.
Yeah. So
hugging? What for? You don't like that.
Yeah. So, and now I think that there was something you said about you want to talk about Bjorn Rebney.
I want to talk about him a little bit because, I want to be sincere about, what this guy has been done to the sport. Freaking guy, coming out of nowhere. And, he created this, between fighters. And then after that, he just took the round. He took the round. And he left. It disappeared. And then his morning, he's out. And then he was like, I'm all about the fighters. The fighters, they deserve better. He just got paid. And he win. He flew from the scenes, man.
Yeah. So where do you think he is?
Take the money and run.
Huh?
Take the money and run.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's what he did. He took the money and run. What a guy, man. What a guy.
Yeah.
And, he just created this, thing that he created himself because at the end of the day, let's face it, we all want to fight in the UFC, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't care who you are. You just want to fight in the UFC. But at the same time, if you have the opportunity, you don't have the opportunity to fight in the UFC, you're going to fight regardless whatever it is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yep.
And that was my, I went for it. Like, I have like visa issues. I'm talking about 10 years ago, man.
Right.
Talking about 10 years ago when Joe Silva, he signed me like in 2005. And I couldn't come to America. I had like, visa issues and stuff like that. But I was already part of the UFC because I was signed like in 2005.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Of course. Hey. Yeah, but and then unfortunately I couldn't make it. Read it up. It's on the news, man. And unfortunately, I couldn't make it. I went different routes because, man, gotta eat.
Yeah, I was gonna say, gotta eat.
Yeah, but I mean, you dominated Bellator. I mean, some of your fights in Bellator were just.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, people say, like, I come from here, I come from there. First of all, I come from the UFC anyway, because I go signed by Joe Silva in 2005, even before fighting in Pride.
Right.
So, and then after that, you know, I had, like, I don't know if you remember, I was scheduled to fight again against Kyle Parisian.
Right.
I'm talking about a while back.
Yeah.
Talk about a long time ago, man. And I couldn't make it. And I'm like, damn. This is depressing, but, you know, man gotta eat. Man gotta do whatever
I Man gotta eat. Do, but, I mean... You know, it seems like it turned out pretty well. I mean, look, you're on a huge,
But you know, like, I don't know who, you know, who talking like you come from there, you come from here. I mean, if you gotta put it, I come from UFC like 2005.
Yeah. So you can't right. So people say, oh, you came from Bellator, you came from there, you came from the UFC.
Suppose, like, you know, they're the ones to find me first, right?
Right. Well, I mean, it's hard not to find you. I mean, you were an Olympic judoka, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're.
And,
are you sure?
I mean, at the end of the day, you know, every fighter, you know, like from, you know, they always fight in previous organization first, and then they made their UFC debut. You know, it is, you know, from GSP to. You know, Rampage to everybody. Like, this is kind of like, you know, they fight in different organizations and then they go to UFC.
Right.
So, like, you know, what is, they're making this commotion about, you know, you come from here, you come from there. At the end of the day, we all want to fight in the UFC anyway.
Now, why do you think nobody wants to fight you, though, in your division? That they had to bring someone from the World Series of Fighting over to fight you? I mean, does that bother you that, like, you want to fight Hendricks and you want to fight Rory McDonald and you want to fight...
Tyron Woodley.
Tyron Woodley.
Yeah.
Hello. Are you guys out there or would you guys need to be?
No. Well, I'm listening to everything you say. So Tyron Woodley.
Yeah.
But.
And it's funny that I mentioned him because he goes and now his excuse is I don't want to go backwards. Okay. You don't want to go backwards because, you know, the rankings. But, yes, you went over to China and fought in number 10. But now you won't fight me. Which is I'm in a lower rank than number 10.
Right. So you're saying if the guy's willing to fight Don Kim, he just didn't
want to... Yeah, he went to fight King. I would have done the same thing that he did to King.
Yeah.
He went over there fight King, but he doesn't want to fight me.
Now, do you think
before I you know, he says that, you know, we teammates, but, you know, at this situation that, you know, we're friends and we're teammates, so I don't know what's going on there.
That's what I was going to ask if that had anything to do with it.
And now it's about that, you know, it's not going backwards.
The rankings.
Yeah, so, I mean, have you guys ever sparred together?
Okay, let's suppose, like, if everybody is going to go that route, like, you know, Rory wouldn't have a fight with Cetadin, right?
Yeah.
Because he would say, like, oh, you know, I'm number two. I don't want to fight number.
Yeah, you shouldn't be able to. Yeah, I mean, look,
because it doesn't make sense.
As a comedian, if they say you perform here on Leno, I you know, like, I'm not allowed to call my spots. You know, like, it's basically whoever. It's a terrible analogy, but the thing is this: whoever calls you, that should be the person you fight. I mean, maybe if it's your brother, I guess if it's your actual brother.
I mean, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it's just a competition, and nobody's gonna get killed. Nobody's gonna get hurt. You know, you just gonna get beat.
But now you and Tyron never spar together.
that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, like, let's do it.
Right.
You know, we never had each other in training camps. Anyway. So, you know, stop the excuses, Mike. Stop the excuses.
Now, let's say Robbie Lowe. Say Robbie Lawler beats Hendrix, all right? Would you fight Robbie?
Yeah, I don't want to go over there. I mean, I like Robbie. All right, you know, he's a hell of a guy. And I like Robbie, Mike. I don't kind of anticipate. I'm a guy that is realistic. Or?
Right.
I'm a person that is realistic on my things.
So who's ever in front of you?
I want to call Tyron Woodley because he's available to fight. He's in the UFC. We're both top 10 guys. Yes, he's available to fight. Yes, I'm available to fight. I call Matt Brown. Yeah, he's available to fight.
All right, so I'm going to...
He's nothing. You know, I mean, he got nothing. So he's able to fight.
So I'm going to put up the guys at 170, and I want you to tell me how you would win that fight. All right? So, Johnny Hendrix.
This should be awesome.
Yeah, it should be good.
So, Johnny Hendrix, how would you beat Johnny Hendrix?
To be honest, I don't even want to talk about that. Why can't we talk about Tyron Woodley?
Well, talk about Tyron Woodley. Tyron Woodley doesn't want to fight you. He says you guys are teammates, right? He says you guys are teammates, right?
I love this guy.
It's not an excuse. He comes in. He doesn't train with us anyway.
He doesn't train with you. I like Tyron's a friend of mine. He's a nice guy. I don't want to get in like the middle of it, you know?
Yeah, he's a pretender.
He's a pretender? You're saying he's not really a nice guy?
Who you don't like anyway, Mike?
No.
Who you don't like?
I like you.
For what I can see, you like everyone up there, Mike.
I like you. Hector, you're my guy. Listen, you come on the show all the time.
Fuck Jake Ellenberger.
Fuck Jake Ellenberger. No. I'm kidding.
We're joking.
By the way, we have a guy.
I got you on record, Mike. I got you on record.
Hector, there's a guy here. He calls himself Hector Lombard Jr. And he says that you could act. He says he's the real Hector Lombard.
I'm the real guy. This guy on phone, he's fake. He's a pretender, man. You know.
Man, this guy called me right.
Now, Hector.
Hey, you got your accent right on.
Right off the bat, man. I do it. Shut up.
Damn.
Now, Hector Jr.
Yes.
Hector Jr., do you think you could take Hector Lombard?
At the end of the day, we all want to be in the UFC. It's the only gang in town. What was the question?
So, Hector, what do you think about this guy saying that he's...
Got me talking?
So, Hector...
You guys coming for food. Is that me talking there?
No, Hector, he wants to know...
No, for real. That was me?
No. So, Hector...
I can't breathe, man.
Hector,
that
who
was
is...
Me.
What? What'd you say?
Shit.
I forgot the question.
Who is this guy, man? Damn. Coming right, bro.
So Hector, what do you think about Ben Askren?
We go over this before, man. I kick his ass.
And what do you think about Tyron Woodley?
Shit.
This guy's fake, man. He say we're a teammate. We don't work out. We don't spar. We don't train. I whoop his ass too. Get him on the phone. You know what they tell him? Shut up. I tell him to shut up.
Tony Montana there talking. Damn. Anyway.
All right.
Hey.
Yes.
So Let's move on with that thing, Mike.
I love Hector, man. He's the best.
Hector, you're the best.
You are the best.
All right. Oi. I want to you know, the other day I make a comment about Cephaline, and I want to bring that back to the program.
Yeah.
Back in the days, I show up to the gym, and I got big, I'm talking about big. I'm not talking about big cut in my face. I had about, not gonna lie to you, I had about 22 stitches.
Wow. Now, wait, who did you get beat by?
No, it was a headbutt. It was unintentional, I would say.
Right.
A headbutt that, you know, cut me like 22 stitches.
Jesus.
Wow.
Right across my face. And
Scarface?
Yeah. No kidding. And, you know, I showed up to that gym because I had a fight coming up, talking about a long time ago. And I didn't want to miss any part of my training session. And, you know, I didn't know who, you know, Cephaline was or whatever. And, you know, I put my metal headgear.
Yep.
And I started sparring, but I couldn't even see properly, man. I couldn't even see. And this guy, he started to throw in leather on me, man. I was like, what the hell is going on with this kid? He wanted to knock me out.
So you had 22 stitches on you, and you had a metal headgear to protect your face, and this guy was still hitting you.
He was throwing leather hard as he could. And I'm like, I'm just looking, my eyes popping out of my face. Like, what the hell is going on with this guy? You know, hey, you know, it's so hot. It's going hot. And I went and I picked up. And I knocked him out.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, like, at the end of the day, it was, you know, training practice. But, you know, basically it was self-defense because, you know, I got this guy all over my face. You know, I couldn't get off me. You know, I'm like, get off me, you. You know, like, he was all over.
So you, okay.
And
so you got headbutt. You had 22 stitches.
No. I knocked him out.
Right, you knocked him out.
This is how it was. I was doing a sparring in Australia. This guy, this Muta guy, he went ahead and he headbutted me really bad. And he cut me right open, like 22 stitches, okay?
Right.
And then, you know, that week, I traveled to California. I remember that Elias C wanted to sign me. And I went all over to sign a contract with them. But at the same time, I wanted to train.
Right.
So I went and started training at
Team Quest.
Dan Henderson. Yeah. And, you know, this guy, just, you know, was all over my face, man, you know. And I'm just kind of like protecting my face because I have a fight coming up, like in 3 weeks.
Right.
And I have my metal
headgear.
Headgear, sorry.
Yeah.
And he was going hard. I couldn't even see, but he was the only thing that I could see, like, he throwing punches and kicks and I'm like, okay. Shit, this is the way it goes, eh? So I went and I knocked him out.
Right.
But
that was Tarek Cephaline?
Yeah.
Yeah, it happened in sparring, you know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, at the end of the day, sparring is sparring, but, you know, I got this guy that's just coming all, you know, on my Twitter, saying like, oh, crying. But, you know, what can you do? You know, let's suppose that you know, you in a new gym, okay? You go to the new gym and, you know, you have to face that situation. Like, you got 22 stitches across your face. You know, you can barely see.
Right.
You got the metal headgear on it. You can barely see. You can't take it off because if you can take it off, they're gonna cut you.
So you were just defending yourself. The guy was teeing off on you, going way too hard. You threw an uppercut. You knocked him out. Gotcha.
And I'm the newcomer. I mean, at the end of the day, this, you know, I'm the newcomer. I wasn't even his training partner. He just came in here for a cruise. You know?
You just came in to use the bathroom, and then someone just started punching in the face.
I mean, I was jumping. I'm like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah. Right.
But, I mean... I just want to...
I'm happy. I'm happy we got your side of the story, because I understand that, like, Tarek Safradine had just gotten knocked out, and then 3 seconds later, you wrote a tweet saying, "Hey, remember when I did that to you in sparring?" I could see how people on Twitter would get upset about that. But now that we know your side of the story, now we know the backstory. It makes more sense.
Well, I have to put it up there because, I don't want to be seen like this. Mean evil guy.
Yeah.
And you know, like, I have to prove the facts, and I have to bring the real story.
Yeah, the history. Right.
What happened?
Well, I think people that know you know that you're not a mean guy. I think you have no idea. Out of all the guests that we've had, we've probably had over 500 guests on the show.
You're the overwhelming crowd favorite.
You're the most requested person. People. Well, when's Hector coming back?
I have a history behind, and trust me, I've been like 18 years in the game, and you know, I have a lot of stories to talk about, and that was one of those. That was one of the stories that I want to put it up there, because it was that way. It was no law less. It was no law more. It was just the way I'm saying it.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Gotcha.
It was just right the way that I'm saying to you guys. It was our way, okay? So, I show up to the gym. I have 22 stitches across my face, okay? And I put in my metal bar, try to get some rounds. Next thing that I know, I mean, I'm just fighting for my life. So, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. Well, listen.
At the end of the day, it's sparring anyway. Like, look, you know, when you play in basketball, you have to throw a ball, right?
Yeah.
The guy said, you got to throw the ball because you're playing basketball. You have to throw the ball. When you spar, you know, it's just like walking in the street and, you know, you're beating a kid or you're beating an old lady.
Yeah.
You know, you don't do it none of that. You just, you know, you're sparring, you know, and the seat's getting a little bit heat up and, you know, sometimes happens, but it's nothing like personal. It's nothing like, you know, I mean, I think he's a cool guy. I don't know him that well. You know, I met him like maybe like three days. I was there for like 3 or 4 days and then I left. But,
do you think it was intentional disrespect on his part trying to hurt you while you were already injured?
Well, you know, it's very common. It's very common in especially in the back in the days, not anymore. But back in the days where a new guy come to the gym, they, you know, you get tested.
That's tested in the fires. You know
what I mean? Yeah, I know.
Yeah, they test you up. They see, like, you know, where you are. You know what I mean? Like, they say, like, let me see what he got. You know, let me see, is he good? Is he good enough? Or let me see if he's tough enough. And trust me, like, I have experience all over. And now it's getting more, like, educated. Like, the guys, you know, they can get to each other. Especially when you're a training partner, you take care of your training partner, because you got a fight coming up. You don't want to hurt your training partner. We first of all, we wasn't a training partner.
Yeah.
I was cruising around that gym for a little while. Second, you know, he didn't know me. I didn't know him. So, I want to make that very clear up there.
Okay. Well, Hector, listen, man. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, we love having you on.
We love having you on. You're more than welcome to come on any week you want to come on. If you want to come on every week, we'll have you on every week. You're amazing. And have a great weekend, brother. Have a great rest of the week, at least.
Hey,
is Hector here?
Hector Jr.?
Yeah, I'm here, man. What you want?
Oh. Hey, see you later, Mike.
Hey, you be good.
man, you got it right. All right, guys.
All right, take care.
All right, brother. Take care, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Well, that is our show.
Another great one in the books.
Another great one in the books. Guys, thank you for listening to our show or watching our show.
Thank you, Evan the Beard, for taking over for DJ since he slipped out on us.
Evan the Beard. I will be at the Ice House Saturday night in Pasadena. Two shows. Go to adamhunter.com or MMA Roasted or Adam Comedian on Instagram or Twitter. T-Rex, where are you going to be?
I will be at my house. My wife went out of town for the week, so I'm relegated to being at home with the kids. So I'll be at home, but you can check me out on Twitter and Facebook. Todd Rex, T-O-D-D-R-E-X-X. Follow me. Someone hacked my page and was like, I was getting inbox things saying.
Yeah, about porn and stuff like that, yeah.
No, it was about porn. It was about buying, like, followers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, people were, like, hitting me up, like, why are you trying to buy followers? And I was like, I only have 700-something followers. I'm not buying any damn thing.
Yeah, true. Well, take care, guys. Thank you so much.
Later, guys. Bye.